We pray. Heavenly Father, how great is your love, all-consuming of you, that you do all things out of the love that's in your heart for us. How great is your love, dear Lord, to move heaven and earth for our benefit, to ransom us and rescue us through your own person, Jesus Christ. Bless us and overwhelm us with your holy love, dear Lord, that in all we say or do, we may have your love. In Christ our Savior, amen. Bubba Bradford and Little Miss Fox were high school sweethearts. Sophomore, Millie and Bubba. Everybody looked at them and cheered. They seemed like the perfect couple. 2 months into their courting, they finally came around to those big words, those magical words. I love you. Bubba and Millie would look at each other with stars in their eyes, that dreamy gaze, and their parents would sit back and wonder, I wonder what kind of love they truly are sharing. Is this the kind of love that takes? The kind of love that uses people? That cheats on people? That lies to people? That manipulates people? That love that wants to conquer people? The love that is just in it for themselves sort of love? And then they're done and over with? Or is their love going to be a giving love? A love that really seeks to build one another up. A love that forgives and forgets and makes peace and sees the good in people. A love that really wants to have a happy ending and measures it by how much they can give. A love that actually sacrifices, bleeds, and even dies for the welfare of the other person. Now, there's a love. It's amazing how even young people recognize that there's so much more to true love than just really cool days and really hot nights. Real love delves so much deeper than that. Real love, true love, pushes us, compels us, moves us into commitment and changing and growing and sacrificing. It has so many dimensions to it. And ultimately, true love is only found from our true Lord. But be warned. Our God is the God of ultimate love and true love. He is the only source for pure love, holy love, and powerful love. But if you're going to go on a journey of love with our Lord, be warned. God's love sacrifices freely, powerfully, willingly. Jesus was on a journey with his disciples. He was walking down the road, and up to this point in the ministry, he was focusing his attention on teaching them who he was. Verses before our text here, he kind of gives them a pop quiz. He asks them, who do you say I am? Peter jumped up and he raised his hand. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A plus, Peter. You really nailed that. But Jesus wastes no time. He launches right into the next lesson there to learn why he was here. Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter choked on this lesson. He erupted in Jesus' face. No, Lord. This must never be or happen to you. Peter thought this is a terrible idea. Oh, Jesus, just get this out of your head. That's terrible that you'd go to Jerusalem and die. Which raises another question. Peter, why are you so slow in understanding why God has come and taken on human flesh? Of anybody, wouldn't you understand it, Peter? Haven't you listened to those Old Testament readings, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, that talked about the Messiah coming and laying down his life for us? Peter, haven't you gone to the temple over and over and seen hundreds, maybe thousands of sheep and goats that have had their throats slit, bled to death, in order to make peace between us and God? Didn't you get it, Peter? Do you not know why all that happened? Well, to be fair with Peter, Peter also had a lifetime of false teaching, of religious leaders kind of bending the whole meaning of the Messiah. Why was God, who's beyond creation, actually come and become created and be one of us? Oh, the Messiah is here to run all the bad people out of town, to make Israel a great nation again, and to bring perfect peace and prosperity to all the children of God. That was their answer to the question. And Peter had bought into it. It's for this life, right here and now. So while Peter got an A+ on the first question, he totally bombed the second question. And so Jesus scolded Peter right after he had praised him. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." What are these things that God has on his mind? God had in mind to sacrifice himself for our sins, for the sins of the world. God's love sacrifices. He sacrificed himself for you and me. If Jesus had taken Peter's advice and not gone to Jerusalem and not endured the cross, where would that have left Peter and you and me? Oh, in a world of hurt. Our sins would still be on our heads, and hell would be our eternal home. But Jesus wouldn't. Jesus couldn't. Jesus' love so pushed him forward, he would not give up on this holy mission. And so he'd press on to Jerusalem, to that whipping post, to that cross, to that grave, all so that he could win the victory over our enemies, our sin, our death, our hell, our Satan, so that he would be the one that would accomplish it. Our sins are no longer ours because they were placed on him, Jesus. He took ownership and paid them in full with his holy blood. That's what his love is all about. Peter didn't understand this at first, but later on he would journey with Jesus on the other side of the grave, and then he would get it. And it would be powerful. Now, we've walked this road with Jesus many times throughout our life. So as Jesus shows his determination to go to Jerusalem, we're not horrified. We are actually filled with awe to see once again the depth of God's love and what it would move him to do to sacrifice himself. Wow. But what about the people of America and the people of this world? What do they think when their attention is turned toward the crucified Christ? Do they see something loving or something foolish? Isn't that ironic how the all-loving and saving Jesus is so distasteful to the world and to a great many Americans? Because they don't understand They don't understand what Jesus has done. You see, the whole world would love a Savior that comes and tells us that we're worth saving. We're so wonderful, good, and kind, and valuable. The world would love a Savior that paints us to be the victim and that is going to defeat the evil enemy out there somewhere. What the world doesn't like is a Savior that comes and says, you know who I'm going to save you from? Yourself. That we're the enemy. We're the evil force that has rebelled against God, and we cannot save ourselves. And if Jesus doesn't do it, there is no salvation. The world doesn't like that. The world likes a Savior who's going to come and push all those mean people out of America. It's going to make great again the nation of USA. And all the perfect peace and prosperity is going to be just what we deserve because we're such wonderful people. We're entitled to it. But that's not reality. That's not the Savior Jesus is. And so this world bristles at a spiritual Savior because they want a geographical Savior instead. How desperately the world needs to hear of this Jesus, this loving God who so loves us that he's willing to sacrifice himself to open the doors of heaven, to wash us clean. How desperately they need to hear who is going to tell them. Just when the disciples' minds were spinning with this thought that their beloved Jesus was going to die, Jesus yet reveals another thought that's in the mind and heart of God. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God's love sacrifices. God, in his mind, wants us to sacrifice ourselves to follow him. So as a master, so goes the disciples. Do we find ourselves much like Peter at this point? Oh, no, Lord, never, Lord. This should never happen to us. Do we think this is actually foolish? A terrible thought. Get it out of your mind, Jesus. This is not good. After all, you won the victory. And we know the old adage, to the victor goes the spoils. Why can't we just sit back and have a wonderful life enjoying the spoils of your victory, the great accomplishment as being conquering heroes? Denying ourselves, taking up our cross. Oh, that doesn't sound like fun at all, does it? Why, that might even seem like we're denying our natural instincts. Our natural instinct is that we're number one. We should always put our wants and needs before everyone and anyone else. That's just being human, isn't it? Being American. Why, if we really denied ourselves and said no to ourselves so that others could be benefited, so that God's will would be done, why? Wouldn't that actually strip us of our identity, make us a big nothing, remove our whole reason for living? What would people say of us? What kind of people are you, after all, that you don't look out for yourselves, that you're so foolish to give, 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 that you're so obedient to your Lord? What kind of people are you? Don't you have any backbone? Why do you even exist? You really sound like an alien from a different planet. Well, who are we? Are we children of this world? No, we're children of our God who have been purchased by his sacrifice, who have been filled with his love. What makes us tick? Why do we do the things we do? His love in us and through us and filling us. His loving sacrifice that calls for us to now love with his love even to the point of sacrificing. You see, God has this silly notion in his head that we should love others with the love he has loved us with. He has his purpose and plan for us that we should actually rejoice in saying no to ourselves when any temptation comes that would separate us from our God. That if there's that forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden, that we would be like Adam and Eve before the fall and say, no way am I going anywhere near that forbidden tree, that forbidden fruit, that which is an offense to my God. And to actually count it a blessing to tell ourselves no, because this pleases God. In God's mind, he actually has the thought that we should forgive with the forgiveness he has given to us, so that as people sin against us, we deny ourselves that juicy privilege of revenge or holding on to anger or constantly remembering their offense against us. No, to forgive and forget as far as the east is from the west, that we would actually practice that with one another. In God's mind, he wants us to be able to build one another up even before we build ourselves up. To look out for the other person's interests before we look at us. Just as Jesus looked out for our interests and put his safety on the side. That we could have a heart that would love and care and really want good for those around us, even when it costs us. What a remarkable transformation his love produces in our hearts and lives. That we would praise him with the praise that Christ has for his heavenly Father. That we would witness to the world, just as Christ trumpeted the good news in every town he went, that we would find people in their need and be Christ to them. To bring all the mercy and grace and truth and forgiveness that is ours in Christ and share it with them. And the more we give of this love, the more our love actually grows. Remarkable. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. There's the truly blessed life. Jesus throws out a puzzle for his disciples and us. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder if we could have an interview with Adolf Hitler today. I wonder what he would say today about his rise to power. How'd that work for you, Hitler? If by some miracle, some grab of power, someone really truly was able to control the entire world for their benefit, it wouldn't do them very much good for very long, because ultimately they would die. And life is found in no one else than Jesus Christ. And in hell, they would languish. They would still lose. And once a person is in hell, they would give anything and do anything to be able to be in heaven. But there will be nothing they can do or give to change their eternity. People in this world think so little about life after death, about where they will spend eternity. That too is a trick of Satan. But for all those who are already in hell, for all eternity, they will be able to regret that they didn't think more of that while they were alive. We need to trumpet the word so that more can ponder their eternal destiny and be found with the Lord in paradise. Big Bubba and Miss Millie thought they were head over heels in love. Maybe so. But did they see this as an opportunity to grab the world and all the gusto, to enjoy themselves to the fullest with every pleasure known to mankind until it all ran out and then just find someone else to begin all over again? Or for Bubba and Millie, was this an opportunity to sacrifice, to build up a love that revolved around Christ's love for us, that love that never runs out, and a love for each other that is centered in Christ so that they might build a future and a home that breathes love, loving sacrifice for one another? Now there would truly be a beautiful life and a gift from God. In that life, sacrifice is a pleasure because it's done out of love. The more of God's love that we give away, the more we possess, ever richer and deeper and fuller. God's love sacrifices. Sacrifices for us and sacrifices through us. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all glory, use us according to your good and gracious will. Journey with us and fill us to overflowing with your love, that we might rejoice to be called the children of God and rejoice at the opportunity to share your love. Bless us and instill in us a holy passion, dear Lord, for all that's on your mind and heart. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.